Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program. I hope you are ready, set, and ready to go. I'm here for another week in beautiful Brevard County, where God has strategically placed you, strategically placed me, so that we can represent him and work for his glory during such a time as this. So you are not here by accident. And we pray that the next 30 minutes, as we're talking about the Word of God, that it will be a blessing in your life. That's why Merritt Assembly of God exists, is to be a blessing. And, you know, like we say here in the opening, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. That's what we want to do. And we're going to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 here in just a moment. But first of all, I would like to say thank you to the folks at Coastal Image Landscapes, 321-208-2281, 321-208-2281. If you have any landscaping projects that you are looking at, you know, I know people, they love working in their yard. I've got three kids, all adults, and they like working in their yard. And maybe that's because they never worked in my yard. I don't know. It's just not one of my favorite things to do. And if you've got something in mind that you want to make your outdoors look better, but you don't have the skill set or the vision or the abilities to make that happen on your own, give the folks at Coastal Image Landscapes a call, 321-208-2281. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program and you'd like to talk to them, see how much it would cost to transform your yard. And they've got great ideas and wonderful, wonderful folks. They've been a blessing to me at my house and some projects I've done, as well as at the church. And I'm sure they will do a great job for you as well. I've never seen a complaint about them on Facebook. I've seen lots of wonderful testimonies about them on Facebook, and so I recommend them. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. 321-208-2281 get you in touch with Dave. The person I normally deal with is Dan, either one you talk to, they'll set up appointments for you. They can come out and take a look at your job, give you an estimate, and you can go from there. But they're a blessing to us, and I pray they will be a blessing to you as well. So let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 today. We are going to look at verse number 4. We've already talked about verses 4 through 8, so I'm just reading this for context for you. It says, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day, the day of the Lord, should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation." Verse number 9. "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing." So we're looking at right now the necessity for each of us to be saved. We saw in verse number 8 that when we put on the helmet, the hope of salvation, that has a benefit for the way we view things, the way we think, the way that we act. And so salvation is meant to be a guiding factor in our life, a controlling factor in my life. Because I'm saved, I won't do certain things. Verse number 9 begins to tell us the why that we need to put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. And that is, this is a statement to believers. This is in contrast to the those that are referred to as they in verse number 3. And it says this: for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, this word, appoint, it means to appoint or put, to place or to lay. It's talking about setting in a position, or did not arrange for us to experience His wrath. Now, you can expect in this world to experience the wrath of the enemy. In fact, I think that if we are not making the devil upset, we're missing a wonderful opportunity. I think that the enemy would love nothing more than to take saints out, to humiliate them, to try and prevail over them. But we live in a fallen world, and so I thank God for His salvation. I thank God for His protection. I thank God for His appointed purpose and His appointed timeline for us. In other words, He knew you when you were being formed in your mother's womb. He has numbered your days. He knows exactly when it is appointed unto you once to die, and then comes the judgment. And He, the Father, alone knows when the day of the Lord is going to come. And so that's what's being described here in verse 5. People who are living as if Jesus is never coming back versus people who are walking with Jesus and having fellowship with Him now, to the point that when He does come back, it's just going to be a promotion into a greater revelation of who God truly is. So God in His sovereignty has not appointed us to wrath. So He's not put us in that position. So we may experience the wrath of the enemy. We may experience the wrath of those who love darkness instead of light. And so a terrorist attitude would say, okay, unless you deny Him, I am going to treat you really, really badly. But a believer filters that threat like this. Okay, you said that if I don't deny Him, that you're going to treat me badly, but what you have failed to do is you have failed to factor God into the equation, and God is going to treat me wonderfully whether or not you treat me badly or not. So that confident expectation of salvation that we have, you and I have to remember to keep God in the equation, which also keeps God in our battles with us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that is a tremendous promise. And so anytime God has appointed us for something, that's wonderful. If God hasn't appointed us for something, that is also wonderful. And so it describes here initially what God has not appointed us to, and that is to wrath. Wrath here is indicative of the divine wrath, the wrath of God, and other words that would be used to describe that that term would be rage. In other words, God is not appointed us to experience his rage or his fury. The lexicon says it's not only the emotion, but it's the reason for the emotion, and that is God's divine wrath is reserved for the punishment of sin. It is the manifestation of divine judgment that awaits all who have rejected God's truth. And so there is going to be, at some point in time, a very clear-cut distinction. It's going to be one or the other. There will not be any ombre type mingling of the two. There will be the children of the light on one side and the children of the darkness on the other side. One is going to be appointed to wrath. That would be the children of darkness. And then the others are going to be appointed, we're going to see this in just a moment, to obtain salvation. And that's what we're looking at. It is essential that we be saved. Being a good Bob, being a good boy, being a good pastor, being a good husband, none of that will get me into heaven. The only way to have sins forgiven and be restored to fellowship and reconciled relationally to the Father is through Jesus Christ. And so when you look at 1 Thessalonians 5, you need to ask yourself, which one of these appointments do I want? So I have two different tracking systems for my appointments. Whenever I have an appointment that's made, they oftentimes give me a little card that tells me the date, it tells me the day, tells me the time. And I carry those around with me. But I also try and put those into my calendar on my phone, because there are certain seasons during the year where I have numerous doctor's appointments that all converge in a very narrow time frame. And I can't really afford for those appointments to overlap. I've got to choose to be in one place or the other. And I want to ask you today, when you are considering the appointments that God has for humanity, would you want an appointment with his wrath, or would you want an appointment to take possession of God's salvation? You've never seen the full manifestation of the wrath of God in your lifetime, ever. His wrath is as great as the fear that is due his name. In other words, as awesome as God is, as holy as God is, as compassionate as God is, his mercy is preventing him from releasing, if you will, his hostility in full. People ask all the time, why doesn't God do something about this? Look, there was this horrific event. Why didn't God do something about that? Well, you've got to understand that God has given you and I a free will. And at what point in this is there a line in the sand that says, okay, I'm going to deal with rebellion once it reaches this threshold, or do you deal with rebellion at a very earlier threshold? For me, I have chosen to ask God to deal with any shortcomings, any problems, any missing of the mark, any rebellion in my life. I want him to deal with that very early in my life so it doesn't grow into a major problem. What people actually mean when they say, why did God allow this to happen? Why didn't he stop it? Why didn't he prevent it? Is these people are worse than I am, and now I'm experiencing pain and anger and heartache and those type of emotions, and God could have stopped that. In the same time, you are also causing other people pain, heartache, remorse, and sorrow, and God hasn't dealt with you yet. You know, most people that I know didn't give their heart to Jesus right off the bat. God, in his long suffering, dealt with them. He has redeemed people from every way of life that you can imagine throughout history and made them valuable kingdoms of God. What you are saying is you want God to wipe these people off of the map, and so that they would never have an opportunity to experience his mercy, his grace, and his forgiveness, when God really doesn't want anybody to perish. He wants all to come to everlasting life. And so thank God that he hasn't appointed us to wrath. Many people fail to take into consideration when they are looking at their end times timeline and trying to make sense out of things that none of us has a 100% clear picture. There's verses that could cause you to see one view, and then there's verses that could cause you to see another view. There are other people who hold views, and it's like, where'd you get that idea? I can't find that. But there's some uncertainty there, but there is no uncertainty about the character of God. And so when you and I focus on the timeline of events and what's going on in our life, you know, let's not fall into the Jonah trap, where, you know, well, I don't want those people being saved, so my decision is better than God's decision. And instead, 120,000 people got saved when Jonah did decide to go. Jonah said, I would rather rebel and run the opposite direction than tell those people about Jesus. We don't want to do that. We want them, even my, you know, the people who've treated me the worst, I still want them to walk in the blessing and the favor of God, having a forgiven sin record just the same that I've got. So there are other people that say, God, I'm going through this really horrible situation, and they fall into the disciples' trap. Don't you care? Remember the character of God, who's 100% holy, he's 100% merciful, he's also 100% just. He's God without any restrictions, any shortfallings, any weaknesses whatsoever. And he has appointed us to obtain salvation. That means to take possession of it and to gain it. That salvation is wholeness. It is safety from enemies. It is salvation. It is salvation from sin and death through Jesus Christ our Lord. So don't forget to gain the salvation that Jesus wants you to gain. And salvation is not through your works, not through your genetics, not through your wealth or your fame. Salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, Paul says, salvation is through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. And so the purpose of salvation is not just that you have an encounter with God at an altar. The purpose of salvation is that from that point forward, whether it is something that humanity considers of a magnificent scope, or whether they don't consider it significant at all, you and I do life together with Jesus Christ. Can I tell you that I did not marry my wife because I thought it was going to help me get rich. I didn't. She's a hard-working woman, but I didn't do it to get rich. I didn't. The reason that my wife and I got married, beyond the fact that God spoke to me about marrying her and God spoke to her about marrying me, it wasn't any of the carnal reasons, but it was about the fact that together with Jesus, we were going to do life together. So in a marriage, it is not just a husband and a wife. It is a husband intertwined with Jesus and the wife intertwined with Jesus. And both of those individuals are intertwined together, and God weaves those lives together in such a way that he makes a beautiful tapestry that only he could weave together. Salvation came through Jesus Christ because he died for us. Never forget that. You and I may look at things and they may be challenging at times, but he literally laid down his life for us. Just about every time there's a mass casualty, you will hear something like this. I've heard of it where there have been wildfires, and they found a mother had provided herself as a shelter from the fire, that her chicks were able to survive the fire, but she did not. She laid down her life so that the chicks could live. Whenever there's mass casualties, you will find that there are people who died many times, but when they moved their bodies, they found that there was a person that they were protecting that lived because they were willing to lay down their life. You know, none of us knows when our last breath will be. None of us knows what tomorrow holds or what today holds. Outside of this, if you've obtained salvation, you get to live together with Jesus. And that's the greatest privilege that this world has to offer. Verse number 11 says that the purpose that we should live together with him should emit a response from us, and that is that we comfort and edify one another with these truths. So look at verse 11. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. You look at the last verse of chapter 4, therefore comfort one another with these words. This isn't just wrapping our arms around one another and putting our head on each other's shoulder and patting one another on the back like you do a baby and say, there, it's going to be okay. No. That's not what we're talking about. This word comfort means to urge, to implore, to exhort. It comes from the root word parakaleo. It's one called alongside to help, to comfort, to encourage, to call upon for help, and to reassure. And so these verses that talk about the distinction between children of night and children of darkness versus the children of day and the children of light, children who are living in obedience to God versus people who are not living in obedience to God, people who are appointed under wrath versus people who are appointed to obtain salvation. I've just paused long enough to say, since God doesn't want any to perish and all come to everlasting life, that means that you have to cancel the appointment God scheduled with you for salvation in order to keep an appointment that you weren't intended for. Hell was not created for humans. It was created for the devil and his angels. You can choose an eternity that you were created for, which is an eternity with Jesus, or you can cancel that one and schedule an appointment where you will experience the same wrath that the devil and his angels experience for their rebellion against God. Don't choose that one. My words here today are not here to terrify you. They are to encourage you, to comfort you, to let you see the seriousness of salvation, the price that Jesus paid for salvation, so that you and I can comfort one another and edify one another, build one another up, strengthen one another. I don't want to stay weak. My birthday here was almost a month ago, and we don't do a whole lot of cake. But if I did with all the candles, it the cake would have to be getting bigger to hold all of the candles from my birthdays that I've had, the number of birthdays that I've had. And you could say, you know what? Well, you just got to expect that you're going to get weaker and weaker. Well, in the faith, I expect that I'm going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. And I will tell you, I'm a lot less intimidated about sharing things that people may not want to hear now than I was much earlier in my life. The timing and the season of the Lord's return are not meant for us to argue about. They are meant for us to use that truth to encourage one another to live the life Jesus died for us to live, to cheer one another on, even in our most difficult seasons. I know numbers of people that used to argue about the Lord's return, whether it was going to be pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, no trib. They would get into heated arguments about it. Numbers of people have had those same intensity with views, and here's what I know about all of them. They're part of the dead in Christ that will rise first. So if they thought they won the argument then, it's irrelevant. We cannot afford to get distracted by the enemy so that we miss God's purpose about his return, and in doing so, allow the enemy to hijack a glorious event that God intended to be unifying to the body of Christ. The enemy wants to distort it so that strife and discord takes place in the body. Let's live as believers. May you walk as the redeemed of the Lord today. We'll see you tomorrow right here.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail.